keeping you up to date with the AFL trade period.
The world of footy does not stop.
Who's going where?
Hey, big developments.
And for how much?
I need to produce a little exclusive here.
This is Triple M Footy's Trade Tracker Podcast.
The trade period is underway, and this is where you get a full wrap of everything that went down on day one. Very shortly, you'll hear from draft guru Cal Toomey on who Adelaide will take with pick one in the draft. The Saints, well, they've landed Brad Crouch, and the Crows opted not to match their free agency bid. Plus Tom Brown, updates on Josh Dunkley, Jeremy Cameron and Tom McDonald. But the biggest fish in 2020 is Adam Treloar. And this morning on Triple M's Hot Breakfast, Tom Brown and Das, well, they tried to get something, anything, out of Eddie Maguire.
Another awkward conversation coming up, Das.
Well, you know, you get a bit nervy when you ask questions to the man in the suit, particularly when you're talking Adam Treloar and Collingwood. Go for it, Tommy. What's happening?
The Adam Treloar situation's complicated, Das, because I've reported that he had a conversation a couple of weeks ago with Collingwood where they said, if you want to trade, we might be able to help facilitate that. It's since emerged that his partner and his baby are playing, going to Queensland for some netball next year. And I think Collingwood, it's pretty much accepted now, have said, well, if there's a mutually agreeable option there for you to go and for us to get a good deal, let's explore that. Since then, people have added Mayo to the story. Nathan Buckley refuted some reports on Monday on social media that players are now want Treloar to be traded out. And the situation has become a little bit of a mess because there's an absence of information. Now, Ned Guy from Collingwood speaking today.
Have you been to training yet, Ed? I just need to know, because if you've been to training, you'll be
training
able to tell us exactly what's going on.
Now, you just said the key words there. An absence of information led to what?
Speculation.
Right, so it's all speculation.
So the speculation is that Collingwood has got some tight salary cap and they want to get Treloar's money out to retain other players like Degoe.
It's all the speculation.
Have you got some tight salary cap and do you need to get him out?
Can I tell you this, Das? No one will be speaking at Collingwood. Ned Guy has to speak at Draft Radio, whatever it's called today, Trade Radio.
Trade Radio.
Might be saying too much, I wouldn't have thought. And that's as simple as that, because here's what happens. We're in the middle of a very robust negotiation with every club over players and things like that. When does this finish?
Next Thursday.
Talk to you then.
Okay. When the deal's done. Some type of deal's done.
When everything's
done.
We'll
speak when things are on the table.
When it all hits the deck.
Tommy, you follow these things very closely. Where do you think Adam Treloar's going to play next year?
I think in an ideal sense, it'll be at the Suns, Das. And I think other clubs like St Kilda and even potentially the Bulldogs could get interested in this situation.
Bulldogs,
if some other thing.
What are you doing?
If Dunkley left, for example, they'd have a first-round pick and could pay some of Treloar's money. Now, I don't know all the facts, so I'm reluctant to speak on this. I'm being very cautious, Rosie. Okay. But I think it's fair to say that there's some dialogue there with the Suns, and there's hopefully a mutually agreeable solution for Adam and Collingwood.
Yeah. And how many deals get done usually on the first day?
Very few.
Okay.
You don't make the first bid at the auction.
No.
Well, Eddie was tight-lipped, as you'd expect, but on the rush hour tonight, Billy Brownless and I, we try to expand on what may happen at the Pies.
Oh, Adam Treloar, what is going on there? Because it's just messy.
It is getting messy. Mm. No one at Collingwood wants to speak about it. That's because they want to keep a bit up their sleeve. They don't want to come out and publicly say we need to move him on for salary cap reasons, because then other clubs, they've got no leverage, really. Yeah. Other clubs can.
And he's loved, isn't he? He's much loved by players and by the club.
I think so. Mate, he's three times in the All-Australian squad in the last 5 years. He's been top four in the BNF three times. He's a beauty, but Collingwood have got themselves in a sticky situation with their salary cap, where they need to move on someone. And Treloar's on big money, but the reason why he's on big money over the next few years is because he took a hit at the end of 2019. They asked for him to take a bit of a pay hit and we'll pay you back in a few years down the track so they could fit in Wells.
That.
So he's done them a favour so they could fit in Wells and Beams and a few other guys they got to the club. And now that he's owed his money, they're saying, oh, well, geez, we want to move you on.
Have they gone to him and said, mate, if you take a cut, we can keep you on?
I don't know. I don't know if that's the case, whether they also just are happy and think they can move on without him. And they think, obviously, he's got some currency. They would get a really good draft pick, you would think, in return. But now, today, the other news, the reports are that looks like Jaden Stevenson is also on the trade table. They didn't shoot down that one at Collingwood today. So the young star who had, obviously, had a quiet year.
And that rising star.
Yeah, he's on the trade table. We know there's been talk about Mason Cox and Tom Phillips as well. Gee. So Collingwood are throwing out some names out there and hoping that they can offload a couple of players because their salary cap is quite tight.
Lots to play out in the Treloar saga. Stick around on the Trade Tracker podcast as Tom Brown has more info on how Essendon plan to get Josh Dunkley out of the Western Bulldogs.
Triple M Footy's Trade Tracker podcast.
Welcome back to the Triple M Trade Tracker podcast. This morning on Triple M's Hot Breakfast, Tom Brown, well, he detailed Essendon's plans to get Bulldogs young gun Josh Dunkley.
I believe Essendon is offering Dunkley in the vicinity of just over $600,000 a year on a four-year deal. I think the Bombers' view is this is not about money. Dunkley was keen on going to the Bombers. And I'm told,
say that with a straight face.
I'm serious. And I'm told he's 1,000% committed to wanting to go to Essendon.
Now, you broke this story. You said this here.
I'm told he's
a
got
couple
some
of weeks ago. So what's going on?
I'm told he's got some concerns about the Bulldogs, and he's spoken to Bevo and Armeet Baines, the CEO, about wanting to leave. Now, the Bulldogs are adamant that if he does leave, it's got nothing to do with these so-called cultural concerns. And last night, they reiterated to me that he's a required player, a highly valued player, and they will not trade him.
So I want to get this right. So he's leaving the Bulldogs to go to Essendon because of cultural concerns.
Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just telling you what's going on. Anyway, so what I did was yesterday, Rosie.
Just asking a question, mate.
Josh Dunkley returned from Queensland yesterday, and I did manage to catch up with him briefly. These situations and conversations are always a bit awkward because the player can't reveal what's going on.
Can I cut through to it, Dustin, and then ask you the question, because you're the football director at the Bulldogs. But what we're really saying is that Essendon have let go a fair bit of their salary cap, and they've got a truckload, and they've thrown it at this kid.
Essendon have got $2 or $3 million in spare salary cap space. They're absolutely under pressure to land a player. Adrian Dodoro's got a relationship with Josh Dunkley, and they've thrown half the kitchen sink at him.
I think there's a small part of that, and I'll defer to Sam Power and to Meat Baines and to Chris Grant and all the team who do a fantastic job as the list managers there, but there's a small part where Josh Dunkley has a two-year deal and is very, very valued.
So what do you do when you've got a deal, Darcy, and someone comes to you and offers you more money?
Well, I suppose if you're in the camp trying to get you start maybe putting out scurrilous, I think I'll blanch you a bit when you talk about cultural issues, Tommy. Josh Dunkley's a premiership player in his first year. He's a leader. His best mate's Marcus Bontempelli, who may be one of the most impressive people in the game. So I'm not sure I'd be buying into any of that.
I'm not. I'm satisfied they don't exist, Darcy, and I believe that.
Get his
brother
over there, mate. Come on.
Rosie, this was Josh. Yes, I was speaking to him at the airport.
Do you think you might indicate that you might want to go to the Bombers this trade period?
Mate, look, I think I've just got back to Victoria. I'm going to see how the next few days unfold and go from there.
Have they given you something that's fair to say to think about?
Yeah, I think there's always things to think about this time of year. Like, anything can really happen, but it's going to be an interesting time and we'll work through it. Yeah, I've had some good conversations with Bevo and the footy club, so we'll just see how we go and go from there.
Are there any concerns you have at the Dogs, or you?
No, mate, no, not at all.
It starts today, doesn't it?
Starts today. That was a muffled sound. We both had our face masks on out at the airport there, Darcy.
That was a direct quote at the end. Have you got any concerns? No, not at all.
I asked him, and he doesn't.
Fantastic young man.
How long have we got to go with this?
Until next Thursday, Eddie.
Oh, good. I know.
Plenty to come on the Trade Tracker podcast. Next, AFL draft guru Cal Toomey. He tells us who the Crows should go after with the pick one in the national draft.
Triple M Footy's Trade Tracker podcast.
Joey Montagna here, Triple M's Trade Tracker podcast. Soon you'll hear the latest on Port Adelaide's efforts to get Orazio Fantasia out of Essendon. But first, AFL draft guru Cal Toomey, he joins Bernie and Jars in Adelaide to talk about the Crows' first overall pick.
Now, I know you're all over the draft and all the young kids come through. It's a compromised draft this year with not a lot of footy being played over in Victoria. But who is your gut feel that Adelaide will take with number one? Riley Thilthorpe has been... or the local boy that everyone's been speaking about, the 200 centimetres, but there's this bolter, Elijah Hollands. I'm hearing more and more about him. He's Vic Country, I believe, but his mum's from SA, and I think he was an Adelaide fan growing up.
He's a Crow supporter, yeah, even though his dad played for Richmond, Ben Holland. He played a few games for Richmond in the late 90s. But, Elijah is a Crows fan. I really like Elijah. He's a star, really, and he would have... Yeah. Had this season gone ahead, dominated. He played really well last year. He finished school last year, so he's ready to absolutely smash a full NAB League season. Didn't turn out that way. Burn, obviously, did his knee with a knee reconstruction earlier this year, even before COVID hit. Look, it's out of, in my view, Jamara Ugalhagen is out of the mix, given he'll go to the Bulldogs. So it's out of Logan McDonald, Elijah Hollands, and Riley Thilthorpe. I don't think any of them would be worthy selection. I still feel like Logan McDonald is a really good chance, though, because he's a key forward. He came second in the waffle goal-kicking at senior level. He starred for Perth. He basically dragged Perth back into the finals for the first time in about three decades. I think he's the best performed draftee of any in this year's crop this year. So I think he'd be hard to pass. But, Elijah Holmes definitely has that star factor.
Cal, quick one before we let you go. Adrian Dodora, the AFL, Essendon's list manager, has listed five Port Adelaide players he would be willing to trade in exchange for Orazio Fantasia. How do you see this play out?
I think that was an optimistic start.
Very.
I've been very optimistic. Yeah, I don't see Port Adelaide giving up one of those players. I actually think Port Adelaide's offer of pick 26 was really fair because Orazio's barely played any good footy over the last 2 years. He can play. He's a good player. I know he's contracted for next year. He's not going back to Essendon. And this is the second year in a row that he's asked to basically be moved. So he's going to be going to Port Adelaide. And I think 26 is about right, and that's exactly where it should land. It's okay for Essendon to start off on the back foot, and they have control of him, given he's contracted, but he doesn't want to be there. I think Essendon want a clean break as well from some of these players who don't want to be there. They've learnt their lesson with Joe Danaher keeping him for next year when he didn't want to be there. So I think 26 is the right level, and eventually, in my gut, that's where it'll end up.
Stick around on Triple M's Trade Tracker podcast. Next, we wrap up everything else from day one of the AFL trade period, including Jeremy Cameron, Adam Saad, and Tom McDonald.
Triple M Footy's Trade Tracker podcast.
There's always lots to keep up with during the AFL trade period. So this morning, Tom Brown gave us an update on everything else that's expected to go down.
Adam Saad, Carlton will end up getting him. They don't want to give up pick. They want to get a pick back from Essendon as well as Saad. So that's interesting. I don't think Essendon want to drive Saad to the club. So I think they'll end up sort of settling on pick 8, I would have thought. Jeremy Cameron, this is an interesting one. The Giants, I'm led to believe, are giving Geelong some silent treatment on this deal. Now, the Giants have matched the offer.
Just explain to those driving in the car, this has never happened before on free agency. Tom, explain what matching the offer means to the everyday person.
It's restricted free agency, so he can't walk. So what happens is he's the offer has been put by Geelong. He said, I want to go to Geelong. I'm a restricted free agent, which means GWS get the opportunity to match that offer. If they match that offer and there's no deal done between Geelong and GWS, he stays at GWS.
Correct, unless he went through like the national draft or the preseason draft, where they traded their way up through the order,
which is always the atomic bomb, if you like, the nuclear reactor for a club that you'll lose a guy like Cameron for nothing,
and he'll walk. And but from his point
of view, who's got first pick off the top of my head? Who finished?
Well, the Bulldogs have, then Adelaide have. So
yeah, so the Bulldogs could pass on the kid,
but they're into Jamaris.
They could load up all the points there and get.
And Jeremy Cameron doesn't want to walk into that situation where he ends up at the next bidder potentially. So that has a fair bit of interest. When was the last time that happened? Probably way back with Nick Stevens. He wanted to go to Collingwood, wasn't it? Where Port Adelaide refused to trade.
They wanted Alan Dydak. I said, hang on, mate, your bloke's walking out. Our bloke's staying. So that's your problem. Let him go to Carlton. That worked well. Okay. Anything else?
Yeah, just finally, Tom McDonald. I think some clubs still looking for forwards. Essendon and even Collingwood, I'm told, Eddie. And McDonald's sort of the last available forward standing with Ben Brown now committed to Melbourne. So perhaps there'll be some interest there.
Very good defender, Tom McDonald. He might be interested in putting him back to where he made his name. They're an All-Australian or very close to it, Tom McDonald.
Well, expect more on those players in coming days, but we did actually have some trades today. Hallelujah. First off, Billy and I spoke about Jesse Hogan going to the Giants.
It's only a one-year deal, which is interesting.
What?
So just a one-year deal?
He's on a one-year deal.
So the Giants are just going to have a little throw at the stumps, just see if he how he goes there, and then they can look to extend it further.
That's not great. I wouldn't.
No, but the Giants are in a situation, Bill, where they don't want draft picks anymore. They don't want to get a kids in and half of them leave after 2 years
that's
anyway.
That's exactly what
they want some ready-made talent, so they're going to take a risk with Jesse Hogan. Who knows how it'll pan out, but good luck to
them. Being in Sydney helped Jesse Hogan, do you think?
Yes, I do. My understanding was he didn't really like being back in Perth where he's from as much as he thought. The spotlight was a bit too much for him. We know a lot of guys go away to Sydney, Bill, where there's no attention and maybe he can find his best football there. So we'll see how that one pans out. Young Zach Langdon, who was at the GWS Giants. Effectively, the Giants have got Jesse Hogan and lost Zach Langdon for the same pick. He's gone to the West Coast Eagles as a small forward. And Oleg Markov, who I actually rate, I think he's a good player.
Richmond. Yep.
Speed. He uses the ball well from Richmond. He obviously couldn't get a game behind Baker and Short and Hooley there. He's off to the Gold Coast Suns for a future third round pick. So I like that for the Gold Coast Suns. I think they're just hand picking players really nicely. Hugh Greenwood's been a great little addition.
Yeah.
Brandon Ellis last year. And
again,
now,
they're looking for ready made, aren't they?
They are, because they've got their kids.
That's right. They've got good kids.
Yeah. So they've been the ones that have officially done today.
Righto.
And of course, Brad Crouch was the other big news. So
are you happy with that being a Saints?
Absolutely. Man. And the reason why is that Adelaide chose not to match
St Kilda's offer because he was a restricted free agent. Adelaide could have matched it. They chose not to, so they get a compensation pick, which will be in the early 20s. But St Kilda, more importantly, get Brad Crouch, and they get to keep their first-round pick, about pick 15. So it's a double win for the Saints. He'll slot straight into that midfield alongside Jack Steele and Zach Jones and a few of those guys, and St Kilda are on the up. It's great. Good get.
What about Jeremy Cameron? That's got interesting.
Yeah, so GWS matched Geelong's offer, which means Geelong have to trade for Jeremy Cameron. We know they've got three first-round picks.
Yep.
I threw one up tonight, Bill, and I want to see if you would accept this as a cat. Would you be prepared to give up at least one of your first-round picks?
Yes, 13 or 14, yeah. Whatever it is, righto.
Would you throw in Sam Menegola into the mix to give to the Giants?
No.
I'll tell you why. Because he's 29 next year. He's ready for a payday. He wants a four-year deal. He's done it the hard way. He was at two clubs, rookie list, ACL injury. He's just had a little baby. He wants a big payday, and I think he deserves one because his last 2 years have been awesome. Geelong are going to get replacements in Isaac Smith and Sean Higgins anyway, so they're still going to be in the premiership window this year. They don't have to give up any of their young kids in Parfitt or Radigalier or anyone like that. And the Giants might want someone like Menegola because, as I said, the Giants want ready-made players. He'd be perfect on a wing opposite side to Josh Kelly. Whitfield can go back to the halfback flank. Would you give up Menegola and a first-round draft pick?
I'd give up a first-round draft pick, and before I went with Sam Menegola, I'd throw up maybe Narkle.
Yep.
Do you want that? You're the Giants? You're the Giants?
I'd want a better player than Narkle.
Charlie Constable?
I'd want a better player than they're giving up Jeremy Cameron, remember. He's a star.
Yeah.
I think they'd want an All-Australian caliber player back in return if it's not one of the young superstars like a Parfitt. So anyway, that's just something to consider. That'll go down to the wire as well. And just another report coming out of Geelong, there's potentially they might part ways with Jack Stephen a little bit early. He's got 1 year to go. That might be a combination of obviously some salary cap relief. They might probably need a spot on their list. And I haven't been able to speak to Jack, but where he's at with his football, whether it might be mutual and he might be ready to move on to the next phase because he did fall out of love a bit with footy a couple of years ago at St Kilda, and it might be time. So that's the other.
He's much loved.
He's a rip. Everyone loves Jack.
He's a ripping fella.
Been a terrific footballer, 4-time BNF winner at St Kilda. Last couple of years just hasn't quite panned out for him as he would have liked. So, plenty going on and still plenty more. So Adam Sard's going to be a big one that we're going to have to keep an eye on as well. Essendon want a lot for him. Carlton.
They get pick eight, surely.
They want that. So we'll see how we go.
Would you give up Oratio Fantasia for Ollie Wines?
No. This has been the Triple M Trade Tracker podcast. We'll be back tomorrow with a full wrap-up of everything you need to know from day two.
This has been Triple M Footy's Trade Tracker podcast. Keep up with all the movement this AFL offseason with Triple M's Trade Tracker. Triplem.com.au and on demand on the Triple M app.